Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
I want to welcome you to today's podcast. We're going to be dealing with lesson number 6, which will be dealing with principles of Bible interpretation. Now, the objectives of this particular lesson are as follows. You're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to explain what it means to rightly divide the word of truth. You're going to be able to list 6 rules for properly interpreting the Bible. And you're going to be able to define each of these 6 rules. And you'll be able to define verbal and plenary inspiration. Our key verse today is found in 2 Timothy 12:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, as an introduction, you want to read that key verse again, rightly dividing. As used here, it's taken from the rules of the Old Testament sacrifices, and it means to cut straight. In the Old Testament, when a person brought a sacrifice for sin, the animal was divided into 3 parts. One part was offered to God, another part was given to the one who brought the offering, and the third part went to the priest. From this practice, the expression rightly dividing developed the means in which to give to each that which belongs to him. So, in Bible study, it's important to rightly divide the Word of God. This means you must understand what is being said and to whom, and you must also interpret and apply the meaning correctly. So, there are 3 major groups to which the Word addresses itself, and they are listed in Corinthians 10:32. 1 Corinthians 10:32 says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." So, all scriptures were given for us, but not all verses are directed to us. For example, God told Noah to build an ark. The story is recorded as an example from which you are to learn spiritual truths, but it does not mean that you should go build an ark. Some of the Bible is directed to the Jews. Portions are directed to the Gentiles or nations other than the Jews. Other portions are directed to the church, all of which are true believers in Jesus Christ. That would be the church. So, in order to find the correct meaning from the Bible, you must learn to rightly divide it. Another word for this is interpretation, which means to give something proper meaning. You must learn how to arrive at a proper meaning for each scripture. Jesus pointed out to religious leaders of his time this. He says, Matthew 22:29, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Spiritual errors resulting from not knowing God's word. There are certain principles you must follow in order to properly interpret the Bible. And there are 6 basic rules for interpreting the Bible, which help you to rightly divide the word of God. The first is the rule of divine authority. The rule of divine authority means that we accept the Bible as the final authority, and we believe that all of the Bible is inspired by God from Genesis through Revelation. And the scripture verse for that is 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." In 2 Peter 1:19-21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but by the holy men of God, which spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So there are 2 different types of inspiration, verbal and plenary inspiration. By verbal inspiration, we mean that every word in the original manuscript was inspired by God. And by plenary inspiration, we mean full inspiration of all scriptures as opposed to partial inspiration. Every portion of the Bible is inspired, but when we accept the rules of divine authority, then there is no conflict between the Bible and history or science. If there's an apparent conflict, it's because of 1 or 2 things. 1, we have failed to understand science or history, or else the current scientific knowledge is not accurate. When conflicts are apparent, the Bible is taken as the final authority because it is divinely inspired word of God. In the past, when apparent conflicts between the Bible and history or science arose, later investigations always proved that the Bible was correct. We also have the rule of literal interpretation. To interpret the Bible literally means to believe it means exactly what it says. Always interpret the Bible literally unless the context clearly indicates otherwise. When the Bible says that Israel crossed the Jordan River on dry ground, accept it literally. When the Bible tells us about the walls of Jericho falling down, accept it as is recorded by the Holy Spirit. The Bible does not contain types, does contain types, certain persons, places, or events. While literal in themselves, they also represent something that will happen in the future. Chapter 21 of this course will help you recognize these. So symbols are used in the Bible. A symbol stands for a meaning in addition to the ordinary one. For example, in Mark 14:22, the wine is used as a symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were not, you know, drinking actual blood. The symbols are often used in Bible prophecy. For example, the great image of which Nebuchadnezzar dreamed in Daniel has symbolic significance. Each part of the image represented a future world kingdom. And you'll find that in Daniel 2. The Bible usually explains symbols when they're used. For example, in Daniel's interpretation of the symbolic image is recorded in Daniel 2:31-45. Jesus often used parables when he taught as well. A parable is a story that is told for the purpose of illustrating a spiritual truth. Whenever Jesus used a parable, he always stated it in the Bible. It does not say it was a parable, then the story should be accepted as an actual event. Then we have the rule of contextual consideration. Every verse of the Bible should be studied in its context. This means that it should be studied in relation to the verses which precede and follow it, as well as in relation to the rest of the Bible. Many false doctrines and cults have been created because verses or parts of verses were taken out of context. For example, the Bible says, "There is no God." Did you know that? You'll find this in Psalms 14:1. Right there it says, "There is no God." But if we read all the passage, then we have this, which is Psalms 14:1. "The fool have said in his heart, there is no God." So the complete verse in this context is quite different in meaning than the portion removed from its context. To study the verse in its context, ask yourself the following questions. Number one, who is speaking or writing? So although the Bible is God's word, different men were used in writing and speaking it. Number two, what is being said? Summarize the main points of what is being said by the speaker or writer. Number three, to whom is it being said? Was it Israel, the Gentile nations, the church, or maybe a specific individual? Why was it said? What is the purpose in the passage? The Bible itself states purposes for some books and passages. In John 20:30-31, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." For other parts of Scripture, the reason for writing is not so clearly stated. You must examine the context more closely to determine, you know, why the message was recorded. Number five, when was it said? The time and the circumstance of some scriptures help us understand the meaning. For example, when there was confusion in the church services at the church of Corinth, Paul wrote a special passage of scripture. He told the women to keep silent in the church. Did this mean that women could not sing, pray, teach, or worship out loud in church? To find the answer, we must examine when, why, and to whom this was said. In Jewish church services, men were seated on one side of the building and women on the other. The Corinthian women were disrupting services by shouting questions to their husbands on the other side of the room. This was the occasion when Paul found it necessary to write this verse, which was in 1 Corinthians 14:34. "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also with the law." Now, interpreting a scripture within its context helps explain the meaning of the passage. Taking the verse out of context can result in incorrect understanding, and often the context of a scripture in the Bible gives the interpretation. A good example of this is the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 1 through 9. If you continue to read the context, the parable is interpreting verses 18 through 23. In many cases, similar to this, the Bible actually interprets itself within the context. This is why contextual consideration is very important. We also have what's called the rule of first mention. The rule of first mention is as follows. The first time a word, phrase, object, or incident is mentioned in the Bible, it gives the key to its meaning anywhere else it occurs. For example, in Genesis 3, there's mention of fig leaves. Here Adam used fig leaves to try to cover his own sin and nakedness by his own efforts. Fig leaves speak of self-righteousness, rejection of God's remedy, an attempt to justify oneself before God. This is the meaning of fig leaves wherever they are mentioned afterwards in the Bible. For example, the last time fig leaves are mentioned is by Jesus in Matthew 21 and Mark 11 and 13. Here we find a fig tree with leaves but no fruit. Jesus cursed it and it withered away. To understand this act, we need to remember the law of first mention and go back to Genesis 3. Fig leaves represent man's rejection of God's remedy and a self-righteous attempt to justify himself. The fig tree represented the self-righteous nation of Israel who had rejected Jesus. They rejected him as king and would not accept his plan of salvation from sin, and they were trying to be righteous through their own self-efforts. We also have the rule of repetition. All the Bible is divinely inspired, and there are no unessential parts of the Bible. Each word is inspired and necessary. For this reason, when something is repeated in Scripture, it is for special emphasis. It means that a truth of such special importance that it needs to be repeated. John 3 illustrates this rule of repetition. Jesus tells Nicodemus of the necessity of a new birth experience, and he repeats it three times. In John 3:3, it says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then in 3:5, it says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And in John 3:7, it says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." So remember, whenever the Bible repeats it as the Holy Spirit's way of saying, hey, stop, and you need to really take a look at this. The rule of cumulative revelation. This rule is actually stated in the Bible, and it's found in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Know this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but by holy men of God, as they spake and as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Scofield Bible gives this translation. It says, no prophecy of Scripture is of its own interpretation. That is, it is not isolated from all that the Word has given elsewhere. So the rule of cumulative revelation is this. The full truth of God's Word on any subject must not be gathered from an isolated passage. The cumulative total revelation of all the Bible says regarding a truth must be also considered, and this is why it's called the rule of cumulative revelation. So you cannot base your doctrine, teaching, or beliefs on just a few isolated verses about a subject. You must keep studying until your interpretation becomes consistent with the whole of Scriptures. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test in your book and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.